So please take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. It's December already. And I've already been listening to Christmas music. And I've already been thinking much upon the events surrounding the birth of our Savior. One of those events was the visit of the Magi who came from the East. They didn't come on the night of his birth, right? You know that. They weren't at the stable. They came to the house where Jesus was sometime later. Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, the city of David, and the Magi began a very long journey that at last brought them to the house where Jesus was staying with Joseph and Mary. And the Magi brought expensive and precious gifts to the newborn king and knelt before him and worshiped him. But for the Magi, their journey started when they saw something. There was a star. With their eyes, they beheld his star. And after they arrived in Jerusalem, the star appeared again, going before them and leading them to the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Sight is a very precious gift. A very precious gift of God. And it played an important role in bringing the Magi to Jesus. Just think about this. Without the ability to see, the Magi would not have seen the star, no matter how brightly it had shone. They would not have known that the king had been born. They would not have been able to find the king in order to worship him. And the journey would have been incredibly intimidating. Blind men going on this long journey. Sight is a precious gift of God. And we turn this morning in our study of Matthew to consider two men who had no sight, but who received sight through the miraculous work of Jesus. Would you stand with me, please, as we read in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 to 31. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you once again that you have given us the precious gift of your holy word. Thank you that we get to engage in a study and consideration of it this morning. And I pray that as we do, you'll give us eyes to see what's here, that you will give us ears to hear, hearts to absorb not only what is said, but the importance of it and how it relates to our very lives. Lord, to you be the praise and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, in the brief time we have this morning, and this is going to be brief, we're making plenty of room for Pastor Groves to be able to come up here with Bayek and let us get to know him and so on and so forth. But so this will be brief this morning. But we find ourselves in the midst of yet another miracle that Jesus performed. This time he heals two men who were blind. And in doing so, he yet again sets before us reason to trust him and reason to follow him as Lord. He also gives us reason to be like the Magi and come and worship him. So I want you to see this morning three accomplishments of this miracle of Jesus. So when Jesus came and healed these blind men, there's three things that really stand out to me that were accomplished in the doing of the miracle. And that's what I want you to see this morning. First, I want you to see that this healing work of Jesus confirms him as Christ. It confirms Jesus as Messiah. When we call Jesus Messiah, when we affirm him as Messiah, we are affirming him as King. We are affirming him as the fulfillment of God's promise to King David that his throne would be established eternally. It has been Matthew's purpose throughout his gospel to give to his readers a confidence that would lead them to affirm Jesus as Messiah and to come and follow him, to submit to him, to have faith in him and trust in him. That's his purpose. And he's shown us this over and over and over. Now, Isaiah had prophesied that in conjunction with the coming of Messiah, something startling would take place. Something never seen before in all the Old Testament that we know of. For when Messiah came, blind people would be given sight. Twice in Isaiah, in conjunction with the coming of Messiah, you have prophecies that Messiah will make blind people see. And though we have pockets of miracles in the Old Testament, we even have resurrections from the dead in the Old Testament, but not once in the Old Testament do we have a recording of anyone who is blind being given sight. And so this is a striking and startling and stunning and important piece of the evidence that Matthew would bring to our attention to indeed say, see, Jesus is the Messiah. The two blind men that come to Jesus on this occasion openly and vocally testify that this is the very thing they believe. They believe that Jesus is the Messiah. How do we know that? Because they cry aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." This would be saying they see him to be the descendant of David. They see him to be Messiah, even though they don't have eyes to see with their physical eyes. They have eyes in their hearts that knows that all that Jesus has been doing has convinced them he's Messiah. And so they are convinced that he's going to be able to do something for them that's never been done in biblical history. Blind people getting sight. So they come saying to him, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." So this miracle that Jesus does when he gives them sight confirms stunningly that he is Messiah. Jesus can overrule their blindness and give them sight, and he does. Second this morning, I want you to see that this healing work also displays Jesus as a great Savior. This healing work of Jesus displays him as a great Savior. More than just a great healer, he is a great Savior. Now, Matthew has been treating us in his gospel here to a showcase of physical healing right here. We've seen lepers, paralytics. We've seen the demons, demonized people be lifted from their oppression. We've seen a dead girl come to life. We've seen the woman who had the 12-year issue of blood be healed in a moment just as she came to seek out healing from Jesus. So we have been also seeing, as we've looked at these different healings in Matthew's gospel, that the afflictions from which these have been healed, that these afflictions themselves are windows into the nature of sin and how it brings destruction and disfigurement into our souls. I've made the point that sickness is to the body what sin is to the soul, and we have seen this illustrated in the different ways in which these people who are afflicted come to Jesus and receive healing. And it's no different as we come to the affliction of blindness. That sin is to our souls a blinding impact, has a blinding impact upon our hearts, just as physical blindness keeps people from physically being able to see. So right here we can grasp how physical blindness depicts an additional spiritual reality to these other spiritual realities we've been seeing. Sin brings about spiritual death and defilement in our souls, but it also brings about spiritual blindness. People who can see plain as day with their eyes are at the same time blind as a bat spiritually. That's what we see in the scripture, and that is depicted here in these two men. Human beings by nature are dead and defiled in their trespasses and sins, and furthermore, we are spiritually blind. We can't even see. We cannot by nature even grasp the truth that stares us in the face. But here is another of the great saving works of Jesus Christ. Through him, spiritual blindness is healed. He gives eyes to see. He gives eyes to appreciate the majesty and glory of God. He gives eyes to see what stares people in the face, but they can't see without receiving the gift of spiritual sight from him. He gives sight so that human beings can be exhilarated by the beauty of the glorious gospel. Before you believed the gospel, you were blind. You could hear it. You could hear it spoken. You could hear the testimony that Jesus Christ died for sinners, and it just meant nothing to you. And that was an exhibition A of your spiritual blindness. You could have looked into the sky and said, "What an amazing thing evolution has done." But when God gives you sight, you can't help but see what an awesome Creator has made and sprinkled these stars into the heavens. Now, Paul pointed to this blindness in 2 Corinthians 3. We read about that earlier this morning. Paul speaks of minds that are hardened against the truth. He speaks of a veil that lies over the hearts of the unbelieving. And even when the Bible is read, a veil keeps them from seeing the glory of it all. Can they hear it with their ears? Oh, yes, but there's a veil over their hearts and they cannot see the beauty and glory and grandeur of what it's saying. The glory of God, the greatness of the gospel, and the profound graciousness of salvation. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul explains this: even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And yet Paul says, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And he explains, God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, God removes the veil and you look at Jesus and see the glory of God. And you see it in such a way that you will fall down and worship, not just as one act of homage, but then proceed in a life of falling down to worship, a life of obedience, a life of submission to him. I just want you to see how Paul's instruction there is brought to life in this encounter with these two blind men. They come into the house. They are determined to get sight, and they come. Jesus goes into the house and they follow. They've been crying aloud. Now they come away, and Jesus says, "Do you believe I'm able to do this?" They say, "Yes." And Jesus does what? He touches them, and their eyes are open. Now just imagine, you are blind. You are living in total darkness. You stub your toes constantly. You step on rocks. You step in fires. And shapes and forms and vivid colors you do not know. And suddenly, the light switch is flipped, and you experience a whole new world. And for these two men, the first thing they see is Jesus. Just like Paul's talking about in Corinthians. When the veil is removed, you see the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. These two men, the first thing they saw with their physical eyes is the physical embodiment of Jesus. I think that is stunning. You know, many men experience color blindness. I don't know what it's like because I don't have it. But I know that it must be a pretty bad impediment or something that they really miss out on, because I've watched some videos of guys who have recovered ability to see colors, and I've seen their reactions. Special glasses have been invented that enable many of these colorblind men to see color, and it is so moving to watch on video, and they're on YouTube all over the place. It's a challenge. This is a do not cry challenge. When you watch what happens when these men these men put on these glasses that enabled them to see and distinguish various colors for the first time in their lives. And when they put these glasses on, they are overwhelmed. They are speechless. Their eyes fill with tears. They can't begin to express the glory and majesty of what they're now seeing that they have missed all of their lives to that point. Even though they could see, they now see richness and beauty that they had missed. And it brings them to tears. I mean, most of these men, you know, there's a video camera. And most of these men, you know, they're turning away because they don't want their tears to be seen. They don't, most of them don't say a word. They're just overcome with emotion. As great as those glasses are, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is a greater Savior than those. Jesus is such a great Savior. He died that we might see glory and beauty, the glory and beauty of God, that without His death, never would we see. Never would we be able to appreciate the magnificence and stunning nature of grace and mercy and salvation and the beauty of the glory of the person of God. Jesus died so that we could do better than put on spiritual glasses. He died to give us a heart to see these things, to see God. He died that we might have life, that we might have our defilement removed, that we might have our sins forgiven, but He died that we might see. And just as He healed these two physically blind men, He heals the spiritual blindness of those who turn to Him. When, by nature, the Bible is read, a veil lies over our hearts. But when the veil is removed, our hearts are opened and the truth infectiously, gloriously is exposed to us in such a way that we see its beauty. And all of a sudden, things that once were reprehensible to us, we cannot get enough of. We can't be kept off of our knees. We can't be kept away from our Bibles. We can't be kept from coming to the assembly of God's people to worship, because it gives us delight, because now we can see what we didn't see before. And it cost Jesus His life to give us this. And yet He was pleased to do it. This is how great a Savior He is. He gives spiritual sight to be able to see the glory of God in His face. You don't just come into God and then find Jesus. God, you come to find Jesus and you find God. You see the glory of God in the face of Christ. And in His face you see one who is compassionate. You see one who is patient. You see one who is righteous and holy, and you see one who is willing to hang on a cross so that you could see all that and be reconciled with God. If you love the gospel, and if you're glad to be among the people of God, it's because Christ Jesus has given you sight. Praise Him for His mercy to you. See, what were these men as they came to Jesus? What were they saying? Have mercy, Son of David. And if you can see spiritually, it's because God has had mercy, had pity on you, and given you the ability to see His glory. What a gracious, glorious God. So what should you do? Open your eyes wide. Enjoy what you see. Look at Christ. Gaze at His glory. How do you do that? Well, you come to this word right here. Read it and know everything about Jesus that you can possibly know. And keep gorging yourself on the glory and beauty of His person. That's what you need to do. Look to Jesus and enjoy what you see. Gaze at His glory through the spiritual eyes of perception that He has given you. In fact, such gazing at Christ is essential for you to be transformed. You want to be more like Jesus? Then look at Jesus. Look at him. Speaking of Christ's followers, the Apostle Paul says this, and we, all of us believers, with unveiled face, beholding, seeing the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. If he's given you eyes to see, keep looking. Treasure that gift. Enjoy. When people see, put on the glasses and look, they can't close their eyes. Neither should we be able to close our eyes. But pursue Christ. Spend much time with him. Open his word. Pray. Walk with him. If, on the other hand, this morning you resist the gospel and you find what I'm talking about to be not that important to you or something that you really don't have time for, I've got news for you. You're blind. I don't say that with it sounded kind of derogatory. The truth is the fact. You're blind. You need sight. And I would urge you to be like these two blind men and get on your knees and cry out to God. Have mercy. Son of David, give me eyes to see your glory. And I absolutely, completely promise you that if you will pursue him that way, you will receive sight from him to see and behold his glory. I conclude with one more point, and that is our right response to spiritual sight. This healing work further compels Jesus' followers to spread his fame. Let's look at what happened after these two men were healed. Matthew tells us that Jesus told these two blind men to keep what he had done a secret. Don't tell anybody. See that no one knows about it, he said. Now, there are several possible reasons why Jesus might have said this to these men, but to be spending time on that this morning it's just a diversion. It's not something we shouldn't think about, but we don't have time for that this morning. That's not Matthew's main point. Matthew's main point here was not, why would Jesus tell them such a thing? Matthew's main point is the fact that Jesus said not to, and yet they did. That's the point. And what's the point? They couldn't keep silent. Even though Jesus said to keep silent, they couldn't. They were so overwhelmed, so amazed, so astonished that they couldn't keep their mouths shut. They spread his fame throughout all the district, everywhere they went. They couldn't stop talking about this. I once was blind, but now I can see. And oh, what a world it is. The concluding thought I have for each believer this morning is this. If you're a believer, the veil's been removed. If you're a believer, Jesus has given you spiritual sight. But he has not told you to keep it to yourself. He has not told you what he told the blind men. He has not said, see to it that nobody knows about this. In fact, he has told us that we made to make sure that everybody knows about this. He has instructed his disciples to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Go and tell the world, I once was blind, but now I see. How is it that these guys could not keep silent, but some of us struggle to speak a word? How is it that when Jesus said, don't say anything, they kept saying something, and when Jesus has said to us, say something, we say nothing? Or little. The season is upon us with myriads of opportunities to spread his fame. So I want to exhort you this morning in light of this passage. Be like these guys. Be like the ones Jesus said to keep quiet. We have every reason. Because even if you could just say to somebody, you wouldn't believe what God has opened up to me to know and understand because of Christ. The baby who came and was born in Bethlehem has transformed my life, brought me grace, salvation, reconciliation, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, it's a challenge not to tear up if you watch the videos of these guys who have received these chroma glasses. They have exclamations and tears, and one little boy, his mom gave him the glasses, and he just started. He was just going from color to color to color. And he turned around to his mom and he said, "Thank you." Another kid was interviewed on CNN. And at the end of the piece, they were speaking to him directly about the difference that these glasses had brought him. And he said this, "They changed my life." If Jesus has given you spiritual sight, he has definitely changed your life. How could you not spread his fame? How could you not boldly announce with the Magi, "You have come to worship him"? How could you not summon the world to join you in such worship? I just want to encourage you today. The world would tell us to keep Jesus to ourselves. It would say, "Well, it's fine to celebrate Christmas, but let's just give gifts and turn on lights and sing about Frosty the Snowman and Jingle Bells. Happy holidays." The world would say that religion is a private, personal matter. Keep it to yourself. But Jesus has said it is a very public matter. Jesus is coming back, not privately. He's coming back publicly to judge the entire world. And we are commissioned by him to spread his fame. It's a great time of the year to take advantage of the opportunity to do so. So let me just encourage you as you go through this season of lights and decorations and all that stuff to remember, and not just remember, but to focus the attention of others on the one who came to you who are blind. If you're a believer, you who are blind, and has given you eyes to see. There's more to this thing than a stable and shepherds and wise men. And songs, although that's all true. But the thing is, there is Jesus. And he's not just a fairy tale. He is the King of Kings, Messiah. And you will either bow to him now and rejoicing, or one day your knees will bow because you have to. Which will it be for you? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day and for this word, and just thank you for the challenge and the reminder of the great blessing that we have in Christ to be able to see the glory of God, and also the great opportunity and responsibility that we have to make Christ's fame great. Help us, Lord, to do that this Christmas season. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.